There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Munoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community para todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala. How are you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm wearing a pair of olive green satin pants.
They're cute. They're real cute.
It's like a new look for me.
I love it.
Styled by Brenda, a.k.a. Chicharroni.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about this because we are working with a stylist now.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to work with someone that, like, looks at your body and then pulls pieces for you based on your body type and your size and your height and all of that and knows, like, yes, you can alter this. No, you shouldn't alter that. So that's fun.
It's fun. It's been fun. And Brenda actually styled us for our My Cultura two-year anniversary show. And we looked great. I mean, she did a really good job. She pulled a bunch of pieces, came to our houses, like did proper fittings. And the proof is in the pudding. The girl has the eye.
We have arrived is how I feel.
Totally. I mean, we got nothing but compliments. Robert did our hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I love our individual styles. I love our collective styles. But I will say, over the last 7 years, there have been some hits and there have been some misses. I won't necessarily air out the misses on air, but I know and you know what we're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me, where were the, which ones were the misses?
Well, I think we've had some custom pieces made.
Oh, girl, yes.
That, yeah. You know, needed a little bit more time, need a little bit more work. And so that's why I'm not naming anything or being specific. But I think over the years, we tried to like work with different people or just try to kind of let's be a little more unique and specific and styled. And, you know, it worked for where we were at that point in our career and our journey. And now we're here and there's a little more finesse, a little more pizzazz. I don't know.
Yeah, there's, you know, even celebrities with stylists have misses like all the time, right? I mean, there was an entire show, Fashion Police, just all about red carpet misses. And I think that with us, like we were trying to be custom and styled and work with a designer, but like no fittings,
no
measurements, no budget. She was sewing us in basically day of the show.
Yeah.
That was early on.
It was early on. We had this beautiful vision, like we want to work with a Latina designer and that's still true, right? And she's an incredible person and an incredible designer. It was just, we were both so new in our journeys at the time, mm-hmm, you know? And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it's like just really funny to look back and then now to see how like the looks have elevated.
Oh, maybe yeah.
even how our own style has elevated or changed over the years.
Yeah, because it's not just about, oh, this is cute. It's like, does it look good sitting down? Does it look good on camera? Does it look good under lights? Like, is this going to hold up? You know,
right.
is it going to last the whole event? Am I going to be am I going to be falling apart in tatters? You know,
right. Am I going to be falling out of it?
Mm-hmm.
All those things to consider.
All those things. The accessories, like, are they going to make a bunch of noise on the mic? Like all of these things, these details. And Brenda, like, nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, and aside from, like, you know, ethical reasons, of course, like the days of the $20 fast fashion dresses are behind us. Those were our party dress days.
For a long time.
For a very long
time.
For
a really long time.
I was cleaning out my closet and I found some of the dresses that we would wear back in the day or
iconic.
That I would wear when we would go out back in the day. And I decided to part ways with them because
Sad.
I'm like, why am I hanging on to this other than sentimental? Like, I'm not going to wear this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It also, you know, doesn't hold up the same way because it's the fabric is thin. The quality is not that great. And so I got to let it go.
Truly. I mean, when Brenda brought us like our new pieces, like now in our stylist era, I'm like, wow, none of these are from Ross. This is...
I love when people would ask you, like, wow, where's that outfit from? And you're like, Ross. It's
Ross.
Literally from Ross. Which is fine.
It's
no
fine.
Shade. We love Ross.
We love Ross.
But it's just a different era where someone can actually shop for you. And it just saves a lot of time and pain and
energy.
Tears.
Yeah, so many tears. I mean, we were styling ourselves for all these events and all these shoots and all this stuff, all these shows, and just always running around town, scrambling.
The day of events.
The day of.
The day before.
Yeah, when we did our season 8 promo for Locatora, we were in the Callejones morning of our shoot, like trying on dresses. And then we walked on over to the studio and it was crazy.
It was wild that we pulled that off. You pulled it off because you did the majority of the shopping for that shoot.
And it took forever. It was hard. It
yeah.
was hard to shop. So get you a stylist.
Yeah, honestly. Today, we are so excited to be in conversation with Jade Richard Craven about her journey to becoming a screenwriter and filmmaker.
This is a really exciting interview. Jade actually played tackle football on the boys' football team in high school, and she has turned her story into a movie about a high school athlete who navigates physical and mental challenges after making the all-male football team, but faces her greatest challenge when she begins to question her sexuality. So please welcome to the show, Jade Richard Craven. All right, Jade, welcome to Locatora Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you here in studio. Can you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes. My name is Jade Richard Craven. I'm a writer and co-executive producer of a new Tubi film called Gridiron Grind. I've been working in Hollywood for the past 8 years now. Came up as an assistant on a Netflix Marvel show called Luke Cage. And then did a little bit on another show called Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. And then I've been working in development, kind of to learn how to pitch and things like that, sitting in rooms with, like, you know, the writer of A Beautiful Mind and a lot of big-time people at Amazon. And I feel like that really helped me get to where I am today in terms of, you know, there was a wave of diversity post George Floyd's death, and a lot of that came with this project, which was originally called The Hit, and I originally tried to sell it as a TV show. And now I'm just so proud that it is a movie on Tubi for free that is a coming-of-age story about a young queer girl who plays football, and I happened to play football in high school, so yeah.
You did. Iconically, like, you were the talk of the town in high school.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about that. Playing on the boys' football team in Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
and just that experience, and how you decided you were going to take that life experience of yours and turn it into a movie.
Yeah, it was hard. Thank you for calling it iconic.
Oh, truly. Like, it was a moment. Like, you guys don't understand. Like, we're in high school. Jade is on the football team.
Yeah.
Fucking killing it. Everybody knows. Like, it was cool.
It was cool. It was different. Like, it was progressive.
You were known.
I was known. Yes, yes. I was a little, like, I was telling someone yesterday, some actor I ran into that, you know, in Hollywood, you have to be a little bit ambitious and crazy. And I think that's like what it was for football, too. And
totally.
I channel that football energy into my Hollywood endeavors. When I was in high school, I think it was a bit, what I like to say is I didn't know it was an issue until other people saw it as an issue. So I played football since I was like 5 years old with all the boys. My cousin was really influential in that, my dad, my little brother, and so I guess the men around me also taught me how to play, and I had an aunt who was really tough and played with us. So we were all athletic, and I just loved football. And I was like, okay, I'm going to play. In the middle school, I was like faster than the boys because girls, you know, develop faster, and I was really good at the slant routes, and we'd win, you know, championships. And then comes high school, I wasn't going to play my freshman year, which is different from the movie. So freshman year is when tackle football starts. Everybody at our high school was on JV. I was telling them we were making the movie, like, no one tries out at our high school. Like, it's not like that. And they're like, okay, just, you know, do it. And I was like, okay, fine. I know how to make a tryout scene, but I didn't have that. So anyways, I started the team late my freshman year, which is kind of the story of Riley Brooks and Gridiron Grind starting late junior year. And because I don't know. I was scared to play, and my dad really noticed that I was sad not being a part of a team, and so he encouraged me to play, which is true to the story in the movie. It's just the timeline is a little bit different.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling, and it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So I played freshman year JV, then I took a break to play club soccer, and because I liked a boy, and I was like, maybe if I'm like with the more the femme girls, then he'll like me. Yeah, so that's kind of in the story too. That's the origin of this lovely movie is just like, don't do something because someone else, you know, makes you feel a certain type of way about it. And then the football stuff was good freshman year. I like could keep up and stuff, but then by the time I was a junior and senior, the guys did grow faster and stronger, and people I used to be able to tackle or pair up with, it wasn't the same. Then I was pairing up with like the kicker. and so that was really hard because, as you know, Mala, I was a pretty good athlete in other sports. So for basketball, I was on varsity, and that actually inspired like the championship narrative in the movie. Because that's when I won a championship, is in basketball. So it was hard to be like a varsity athlete who was good in women's sports, but then just kind of like, I was really good at tackling in football, and so I leaned into that story. The first time around, I tried to make like the character just the superstar, and it like wasn't authentic to my experience. So then writing the movie, of course, I'm like, okay, let's dig into my trauma. Like, get down into it. Like, there are scenes I still hate watching. There's one scene where she trips over her feet because some guys are taunting her on the sideline. And that happened to me. No one ever came into my locker room, like, one part of the story. But there was a group of – we were really good my senior year. And so me and other backup players, third stringers, would go in towards the end of the game. And there was this one time that this guy, it was a really bad team. We were up, let's say, 56-0, I think it is, in the movie, something like that. And I go in, and they're like, we got to get this shutout. We got to make a statement, basically, don't let the other team score any points. And it felt like all this pressure. You know, at our school, everything was pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these guys were like, throw it at the girl, throw it at the girl, throw it at the girl. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. It just felt like so much, so targeted. And it was on the opposite of our sideline. So it was something where maybe I could have done better if they weren't there, but it felt, I think there's a line that Riley has about all lies on her, which I later was like, oh, that's Tupac. But yeah, like it feels like everything she does out there matters 10 times as much, which also translate to women and queer women in society, right? Like everything we do, we have to be 10 times as good as the mediocre man, you know, mm-hmm. equivalent. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that, like, looking back on that as an adult was pretty powerful too, because it was a lot of stuff I had buried.
Yeah, I loved the storyline throughout of, like, the relationship with your mom and with the older sister.
Yes, yes.
And all these expectations of excellence and
exactly.
being the best and not quitting. Mm-hmm. And like the mother character, like being supportive secretly, but then like with Riley, not really.
Yes.
And so I was so curious too, like about those dynamics in your actual
Yeah.
high school experience and how did you write the mom and the sister, you know, like how did you go about
yes.
translating it to the page, and
this
like was
fun.
That
yeah.
scary for you?
It
were you
was
nervous?
Oh, I was so nervous, but I will start with this. My mom, PSA, she wants everyone to know she went to all my games. She is a doctor and she was terrified of me getting hurt, but
sure.
she went to all my games.
Sure.
And she's super supportive and always has been. So, yeah, because I think there were a couple fans who were like, we don't like the mom character. I'm like, that was for conflict. This is the story.
Yeah.
But I did, I jokingly say she's, and my mom isn't even like overly feminine. She is just like very together and very smart, driven, knows what she wants. And same with my older sister. So I felt like they had this bond that I was missing out on. And I have two other siblings too, but I wanted to focus on that because I remember in high school, there's like a scene, a banquet scene in the movie, and it very much so represented, like, it's so silly. But I was known as, like, my mom would introduce me as, oh, this is the daughter who plays football, and then this is the daughter who's going to Stanford. And it was like, oh, okay, so I'm not the academic one, you know.
Mm.
I only went to another Ivy Plus, like, at Duke. I was slumming it, yeah. But so also, like, the sister encouraging her to try out for school mm-hmm. and, like, try harder, because I had that more struggle in, like, eighth grade where, let's say, I was capable of doing things, but I didn't have the drive all the time. And so that was really important to show that my sister also never slept with a guy I liked.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Oh, good. These are artistic choices for drama,
yes,
for conflict.
Yes,
yeah.
This is where my soapy, you know, WB mind comes
yes.
in. I'm like, whoop, spin. Yeah. But so my sister and my mom, they basically like were, I think I felt misunderstood, you know, a little angsty teenager, the athletic one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like my dad understood me any better. I think the movie portrays it more like the dad just understands her so much better. I just think I was really jealous of what I perceived my mom to like love my sister more. And so when I was coming out, really that came later out like in my 20s. And so I was like, okay, what was the issue? This is like my own and real therapy, right? But my own kind of psychoanalysis, why was I so hung up on this one guy, and why was I so hung up on the sister jealousy? It's like, she was the straight version of me, you know? And I identify as, like, queer and bisexual, but still, I was like, oh, this is going to make my parents love her even more kind of thing. So especially as a teenager, I was like, if the teen me was out, what would she feel about her sister dating the guy she was supposed to date? And that's where it just kind of escalated. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, because I love that you're distinguishing, like, this is movie mom.
Yes.
This is not my real mom. And so you obviously decided to dig deep and dig into your personal history, your younger self. But how did you choose what you were going to fictionalize and what you were going to stay true to your story?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Tubi and Marvista. No, they no. I think when I first wrote it, it was like real life plus like Riverdale pilot. You know, like. Like, okay, KJ Apa's character secretly with the teacher. And so her best friend, who she's, you know, unrequited with, is going to be in love with her sister. It's the same trope in, like, almost every teen drama pilot. But really, if we go back, you know, not to date ourselves, like, for me, it was, like, Dawson's Creek first,
nice.
One Trio, right? But Dawson's Creek, the initial pilot, is, like, Katie Holmes's character is in love with Dawson, and he doesn't feel the same way. And there's a new girl who came to town. So I always was like, what if the new girl was queer and into the main, you know? So it's kind of like if Joey and Michelle Williams' characters got together. So that was my initial twist on it. And I was like, ooh, that's good. And then I guess in terms of fictionalizing my own life, a lot of people in it, like, there was no Paige in high school. I had a really good platonic friend who was supportive, a couple women who were supportive in my class, who would support me in the locker room, but we weren't, like, getting it on. Yeah. So I think what I chose to fictionalize the most was, like, the queer stuff, because all of that happened for me later in life, which I'm, like, grateful for how it happened. But I think the dad stuff is pretty spot on. The mom stuff was, like, exacerbated. The sister stuff exacerbated. But also, like, I had a friend who dated the guy that I liked and didn't, like, you know, at our school was very small. So,
very,
yeah.
Very small dating
Very
pool.
Small community, yes. So I think things like that, I combine people a lot of the times, too, to fictionalize it more. I'm thinking, who else? Like, yeah, really, like, I would say most of it is pretty accurate to me, minus, like, the ultra-dramatic things. And then, obviously, the big part is the Paige-Riley love story, which is pretty fictional in for a high school version. It was based off of a lot of unrequited crushes I've had in my adulthood. So we can get into that if you want. Yeah.
Plenty of source material
to draw from. Well, just knowing I said we had, like, this great Fox Pride panel in June. And I just said to them, like, I've been the Paige and the Riley. I've been the person who wasn't ready to be out, and I've been on the other side of it. Probably been on the other side of it a few more times. Where, like, if someone is not ready and, you know, you are, like, it's been really cool. We've gotten some more fan traction online with, like, queer audiences with, like, Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, we can talk about that. But, like, one person pointed out Paige's playlist was, like, Renee Rapp, Grayson Chance, and Kim Petras. And I was like, yeah, those are all my artists. But then, like, on the other hand, it's, like, Riley in the bio scene saying, I think the algorithm knows more than I do, was, like, me in my 20s being like, oh, my God, every song. Like, queer artist, queer artist. Like, oh, yeah, like, what are they telling me?
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, so it's cool to see both sides of it because it's hard. And sexuality is also layered, too, so.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura Podcast Network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Yeah, I love this tweet that you sent me. Speaking of the online chatter, this is how you know that the girlies are loving it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So to read this tweet, there's a cute little cliche sapphic movie for y'all called Gridiron Grind. It's about a guarded high school female football player fights sexism, sibling rivalry, and self-acceptance on and off the field who has a crush on the team's pre-med girl.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
That's it. Well, it's funny because they used my original log line, which I think they've taken down on IMDb, right? So about the self-acceptance, blah, 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 blah. And then she adds in, and she has a crush on the pre-med girl. I'm like, genius. Like, yeah. We need to just say what it is instead of like, yeah, trying to hide the fact like that it's a queer movie, even though it is a queer movie. No one was trying to hide it. I just feel like if you target the right audience, like once the queer audience found it, they're boom. You know, and my roommates were like, whoa, like I'm like, because we're hungry for good content. And people, you know, have pushed back and, you know, politics, blah, 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 blah. But you look at like Heartstopper or Bottoms coming out, and like a lot of people are really excited about these things because we don't get as much content, especially for diverse folks. Like, yeah. So to have like a black protagonist, that is what I was a little afraid of, honestly, because sometimes there's pushback, you know, as you guys know, in different communities about queerness and, you know, oh my gosh, you're, you know, why are you exposing that? Or you're supposed to be like this version of black excellence and that isn't a part of it. So I was a little like there were certain people, we had a screening party and I was just like, Mom, like if you invite this person, make sure they're cool with the fact that it's queer. Like I don't want any surprises. And anyone getting up and being disgusted, you know, like, or whatever it
sure,
is,
sure.
Just everybody was great. But you always have to be like hyper aware of it, I think, in both of our communities. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
totally. And I think you're spot on. There is, of course, we have the Love Simons.
Yes.
Right. We have the Che Diaz's. But for the teen girls of color, there's a big hole there.
Yes. Yes, it's huge.
I would say the only that I can think of is like EXO Kitty that came out on Netflix. It's spin-off of All the Boys I Loved, right, before.
Yes.
And that's a cute, like, queer coming of age, right, AAPI
story. Because she's bi,
story.
Right? Yeah. You know what's funny? I saw that as this movie was coming out. I was like, oh, like, we were onto something. Yeah.
There's definitely something
in the
there.
Water. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even in grad school, when I was in my screenwriting class, I was writing a coming-of-age queer rom-com, but for youth, right? And so it's definitely to your point that we're hungry for the stories. We want to write them. We want to tell them.
Yes.
Clearly the audience has found your film.
Yeah. No, it's very exciting. And this just happened over the past month where it was kind of dead in the water for a second. I was like, okay, but... Then, you know, once this traction hits and the video of the...
oh, my God, I love it.
In Spanish?
I listened to it all the way over here, and I'm like, this is my recap now forever.
So that was going to be my question. Okay. Like, how did this YouTuber find the movie, if you know? And, like...
I don't know. Okay.
Is this person from Spain?
The account is called two reinas, and they did like a fan recap of Gridiron Grind.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and the title of the video is, I love, Nueva Pareja de Lesbianas.
Yes.
Paige E. Riley.
Yes. So good.
This is what I live for. Do you understand? Fan videos are what I live for.
The
I
fandom.
Was, they're going yeah. straight to it.
I know.
We got new lesbos,
y'all.
We got new ones.
Yeah, we got new lesbian couple. Fresh meat, yeah. They really were like, okay, yeah, we ship them. But yeah, this video, it's so beautiful. I mean, I think just like the Spanish language is beautiful. It talks about the story, but also like it's not your average sports movie and there's passion. And I'm like, yes, like, thank you. So my one theory is people really love the actress who played Paige, Mirella Cardoso. And she's actually Brazilian. I don't know how much of this I can say, but in the original backstory for Paige, her mom is like the really strict Latina Catholic woman, and her dad's chill, right? So she's like mixed race or biracial, but we didn't get to dig into that. So if there's a sequel, maybe we'll get into that, because all the parents are really like accepting, and I'm like, but there'll be one,
right?
Yeah, which was also cool. Like, I wanted to show that it was about Riley accepting herself, not her family or sister or anything. Everyone else was just like, whatever. It was her internal issue. And I think that's how that was for me. But the other theory I have about like the Spanish global response is, I don't know when Tubi releases movies internationally or like which countries. So I know I have some friends who had to get like a VPN in Argentina, or had to get a VPN in like the Middle East. But I think it's maybe it was released later. But I do think like these videos plus the Twitter, like, I think it's connected. That's what I believe. Yeah. Just chatter, like,
yeah, totally.
You know, some momentum picked up. Someone found it, and then they're like, oh, this is actually good. Yeah. Because you won't know if you're not looking for it. And that's what was hard for me, I will say, is like lack of promotion. Because I was like, I know we have a really good project. The cast and crew did amazing. The director, Kevin, did amazing. Naomi, who played Riley, did amazing. And Mirella and Sharon. We just had this outstanding cast. It all worked out so well. And I was like, and now you're not going to, show the goods? So that was hard. But it's finding its own audience, I think.
Yeah. The kids who are online.
Right.
They're gonna find it and they're going to spread it.
Exactly.
And that's
the power of social media now. It's like wildfire. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it sets up the film to be, you know, kind of like it's iconic among the youth.
Yes.
If they're the ones who are finding it and promoting it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, hopefully a little mini, low budget cult classic kind of queer film. I would love that. That would be very special. Yeah.
Not a bad way to start your filmmaking journey.
Yeah. I mean, and it makes me hungry to make like more things that are meaningful to people, because I think that was the hardest thing after it came out, being like, I'm so satisfied with it, but just knowing I reached some people was really special to me and validated a lot of like all the late nights and stuff and the internal turmoil, to be like, I've always wanted to make a difference for other people who are going through the same struggles. Like, maybe they don't have to come out at 25. Maybe they can come out a little earlier or whatever. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that. So you mentioned earlier that you've been in Hollywood or working in Hollywood for 8 years.
Yeah.
So how did you find your way into filmmaking and screenwriting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Since I was like little, I've really always loved film and TV. I joke about like CW, WB shows, but that was my jam. And so I noticed like all those shows did not have any black or queer or Latina people on them at all. You know, maybe like a 4-episode arc out of a 22 season. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, they're gone. But yeah, I think for me, coming of age wise, like, it was always film, TV, and sports. And so mixing those things together made a lot of sense for me with Gridiron Grind. But in college, I took a ton of film courses at Duke, and they were amazing, and I kind of had to seek them out on my own. I wasn't ready to go to like a NYU or USC and be like, I'm Spielberg and I've had a camera forever. I just knew I wanted to do it, but I also feel like even harder than saying like I'm queer is
I want to be a filmmaker.
I'm a writer. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's the ultimate, like, ooh, yeah, yeah. Here we go. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think even the word producer, my mom likes a little better. Like, oh, maybe she'll make a little more money.
She's a producer.
I'm screaming.
That's so funny.
That's so Pasadena.
Right?
So annoying. Not that your mom's annoying.
No, she's not.
But
she's not.
It.
No, no. God,
it,
right.
The whole, the whole, just the, you
no,
know.
No. She has been the most supportive about this movie. She's like, everybody needs to watch it. No, she's been great. But yeah, the whole writer thing was scary to admit.
The whole writer thing. That's so funny.
That's hilarious.
So I wrote a couple screenplays in college that were not good. And then I did a bunch of internships in college. Every summer I'd come back. And the whole Gridiron Grind team, or at least the producers at Mar Vista, will tell you I'm obsessed with like music and TV. So that also is really important to me. And we got to use this great Fox library, but you know, it was ultimately like the director's decision. And you know, me in teen dramas, I'm like, what song's playing at the end? Like that is my, and someone, a fan did ask, like, where can I find this song? Because it's like a great song they use at the end. And it's just more complicated now, but I'm like, that's part of the fandom, you know? That's how you keep it going. Like, me watching the YouTube videos of, you know, Atypical or whatever Netflix mm-hmm. show and being like, oh, this is the moment, you know, Casey came out to Izzy. And then you kind of, like, relive it, right? So, but for me, it was, like, internships in music first. And then it's, like, a lot of networking and hustling, working for free forever.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Two internships in music, then I did one in Lionsgate, then I did another like small development company, then Luke Cage, PA, right after graduation, like literally the day after graduation, I was like, boom, I'm here, Prospect Studios, Shonda Rhimes is right next door with Grey's Anatomy, and I was like, I made it, you know, I'm this yeah. eager PA. Then 8 years later, I'm like, still trying to make a living. Come on, you know, yeah,
the grind,
exactly, the grind. The grind. And that's what I try to tell people about the movie, the title. I'm like, it had another title, but the grind is real. Like, so it's the football grind and the Hollywood grind is no joke.
But it worked. It worked. Here you are.
Yes, yes.
You made the movie. The movie has been made. It's out in the world for everyone to see.
Yeah. I mean, you could say it has worked. I feel like making something is so satisfying and getting to see it. And like I said, reaching fans and whatnot, telling a story that is very special to me. And I think important for the world to see, especially like in our, I mean, not just political climate, but the, you know, LGBTQ attacks and stuff on allies. And I mean, what the? Yeah. So it's just like, I hope that at least what I learned in media classes too, is that a lot of times when things are really bad politically, things can get better in the media space because like, queer audiences should want to see queer joy. That's like all, you don't want to see someone dying or mm-hmm. not coming out or, you know, I'm like, yes, the girls are going to kiss at the end and they're going to be happy. Like, I'm hesitant to make another one because I'm like, I don't want them to fight. Like, I just want them to be like yeah. happy. Yeah. So, because it's like so rare for us to get that on screen. But yeah, so then it was like Luke Cage, PA assistant, and then I worked with Cheo Coker for a while, who's this great producer, and he kind of encouraged me to like, keep writing, but then also do the development stuff with him. And now it's just about how you make a living as a writer, as you guys know, as an artist. Like it's just it's tough right now, you know, with the strikes, with everything going on, and it's like a critical moment of also. Do you want to make something that you're passionate about or do you want to make something that pays the bills? Mm-hmm. And those don't always align.
Speaking of stories, I know you have more stories yes. that you want to tell.
Yes.
So are you working on something new and or what types of stories are you hoping to bring into the world and get made?
So I hope to tell more stories about mental health, honestly. Mm. But it's kind of that is another form of like coming out. I'm just like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah. So, right.
Coming out is sad. I'm sad.
Yeah. I'm like really sad.
Yeah. Right. To your parents.
Yeah. No.
I'm sad.
Yeah. No. To
a
the world.
A sad queer filmmaker.
What?
What more? What did we do?
Right. As she laughs. Yeah. 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 Oh God. I want to tell it in kind of a dark comedic way. So I have this like coming of age in your 20s story. So the like figuring out you know what type of stories people want to tell. in terms of meaning, like what will also sell, to like, is it a show like Shrinking on Apple with Jason Segel, or like an Insecure, Fleabag? But I think I want to keep doing the coming of age stories, but maybe just a little bit older. I've also thought about the college space a lot, but I wrote this pilot that ironically was called Abbott like a while ago.
Stop.
I know. So now I changed it to Atwood.
Which is good. Also very good.
Yeah. Abbott is great. Oh, yeah. Abbott's a hilarious show. But it's weird because the dramas I loved growing up, like, are not there anymore.
Right.
So now it's like you get a half hour dramedy like Heartstopper or Never Have I Ever. Love those two shows.
Love. Yeah.
But the hour longs are like Secession only.
Yeah.
You know?
Euphoria.
We were
like too much. Yeah.
Yeah, I did love your film because it's like there's love, there's romance, there's complex teen emotions, mm-hmm. but like they're safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing horrible is happening to them.
Exactly.
I'm not scared for them.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We were talking about that because we just produced an episode on America Ferrera's like canon of work.
Yes.
Right.
And so I love her. Yeah.
And when doing the rewatch of like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is age appropriate for the time that we were growing up. So obviously it doesn't necessarily translate now as an adult, but the themes were so complex.
Yes.
And I don't know if we have that in the same way anymore.
I don't think we do.
Not with film and not with like a 22 episode season, 1 hour yeah. show. Like Gossip Girl back in the day.
Exactly.
Which to your point, like, yeah, they only had like 4 people of color throughout that yeah. whole series, but it still had the room to like grow and develop all the characters.
Well, that's what I mean, pitched these shows as I was coming up, was like, it's Gossip Girl, but make it black and queer. Like, I think it's unfortunate to me that these coming of age stories that are very much, you know, it's TV-14 or PG-13, whatever you want to call it, but you know, you might see like some people, some men shirtless or someone in a bra, but it's like you're not going to see them having rough sex like Euphoria.
Right.
And I don't want to, like, I don't yeah. want that. You know, I want it to be happy. I want there to be lessons at the end of the day. You want them to be safe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I do want to create more content like this. And for me, I guess in the movie space, like you mentioned, how To All the Boys I've Loved Before is kind of in that arena. So I don't know. I hope for TV that it comes back. And I think that people are hopefully starting to realize that, you know, ad-based television is not like the devil. And so that's how TV has made money for over like 100 years.
Right.
And radio, podcasting, right, is, mm-hmm. is huge because like it's profitable too mm-hmm. and interesting. And so I think that would be my dream if, you know, a Tubi or a Netflix or whoever wanted to do like a show like back in the day. I think it would have to be shorter, like maybe 13 episodes, but I don't know. Yeah, if it were with commercial breaks, I do see like a resurgence possibly. Cuz I think there's an audience hungry for it.
Yeah.
I don't know why it just like kind of stopped. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Yeah.
And I see the kids. I see the kids on TikTok. You know, like, oh, have you seen Heathers? Like, have
right.
you seen like they're
right.
pulling
they
up
go
the old,
back.
Stuff.
The
old stuff?
I know, because they want it.
They
yes.
want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there are all these like young audiences finding, you know, One Tree Hill, Gilmore Girls,
Gotta Kick It Up,
Gotta Kick It Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dawson's Creek, whatever it is, and all these shows are streaming on like 8 different platforms. Not really, yeah. but you know, 3. It's like you go from Hulu to Netflix to this, and they're carrying these
yeah.
streaming
yeah.
sites. Yeah.
They really are.
I know.
Yeah. They so, really are. And they're yeah. the model that is not being made anymore.
I know.
That's not to get all philosophical, no. but like that is really something to consider of how like the instant gratification of the streamers, right? And you can binge it all, and I love to binge, right? But before, back in the day, when you had to wait week to week,
yes.
season break.
I love that. Like, I love in my head imagining what was going to happen, like are Lucas and Brooke right. going to break up over the summer, or are they going to be together? You know, I loved those cliffhangers and like live for that stuff, right? And now there's, yeah, instant gratification. And what bothers me the most about these shows, I think Never Have I Ever did a good job of it because they would speed up in time a little bit, but are the Euphoria kids going to be like that one, you know, month of high school. No, no, right. But are they going to be in a month of high school for 8 years?
Right.
And like, I miss the shows that would go from September to April and show you a school year.
Right.
Because then you can actually have character growth.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can follow them.
Yeah. And you grow with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but now it's so different.
And even like a Gilmore Girls, right? Like, nothing ever really happened. You know what I mean? There's obviously story and like it's very character driven, but there was it was safe risk, like nothing really dramatic.
It was all dialogue.
It was dialogue. Yeah. It was funny in that way, but it's like you no one was gonna die at the end. You know, it didn't feel so high stakes that you're like, okay, I gotta take a break.
Right, right, right. Very like heightened, grounded. Yeah.
Grounded. And you know, like the Netflix, like on average, those shows like
last two seasons.
Two seasons, right? And like back in the day, we were watching Lizzie McGuire, That's a Raven for years.
I know.
We literally watched them grow up.
Yeah.
And we grew up with them.
Right.
And who are those characters for kids today? Like, who are they watching for 10 seasons?
No one.
Yeah.
And they're not going to remember these shows in like 5 years.
No.
Yeah.
It's just so much rapid content. I'm glad we're talking about this because I feel like a broken record when I tell my other writers' friends this. So I'm like, to me, the heyday of TV was in 2003. Like, it's not now, you know, but maybe it's coming back.
Listen up, Hollywood.
Yeah. We have the answers.
Fix it. Yeah, we do. I know.
Yeah. I mean, and also just for like global context, there's still a strike going on. And,
we're
aware. We support all the writers, the actors.
Yeah. Fully
we're pro
WGA.
Union.
Pro WGA, pro SAG. I'm a pre WGA member, but I support everything they're fighting for. And I think that if we did have longer episode orders, that would help. People have more jobs.
I think the problems that we're discussing here are some of the things that those writers are also striking against.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to fix those issues with the strike as well. Yeah.
I think it's just a question of like if audiences are ready to change, either if it's like tiered pricing on apps or if it's going to be like ad based. Basically, I think that Netflix has spoiled audiences. But Netflix has spoiled audiences to a point where it's like, oh, we'll give you this great premium content, but we're really in debt. And it's like, how can you can't keep that afloat.
Yeah, we pay for our subscriptions and then we have ads anyways on what, you know, it's both.
Yeah,
it's both. And
that's true.
There's just, it's a lot.
Hey,
so.
Tubi is free.
Tubi is
Gridiron
free.
Gridiron Grind is free.
Watch
yes.
for fans.
Yeah.
Stream it for free.
Sure
I watch it for
I'm
free.
I'm sure it'll be on Hulu at some point. And But for now,
head to Tubi.
Head to Tubi.
Share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Jade, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you,
and so
Mala.
Excited for you.
Thank you so much. I'm very proud of you too.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, this is exciting. It's a great jumping off point, and I'm really grateful like for everything. There were a lot of ups and downs to getting this made. I started writing it 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So to get it made has just been so satisfying. And I couldn't be more grateful. The cast and crew was really, really special. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. It really is a cute little sapphic film.
Yes. Like I'm like my cute little I will embrace all of everything she said. Yeah. I'm like, that's perfect. That's what more can I ask for?
Jade Richard Craven, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you both so much. This was awesome.
Yay! Go stream Gridiron Grind. And I don't know, do you want folks to follow you? Where can folks follow you?
Oh,
if that's
yes.
a thing you want them to do.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Plug it, girl.
Plug it. Okay. I'm at Jade Richard Craven on Instagram. That's my main vice, I guess. I'm trying to get back into the Twitter game, and that's at Jade Like D.A. Stone, Jade Like the Stone. And so that I'm trying to, we'll see about Twitter X.
We just talked about how Twitter's like, we've given up on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're like, TikTok.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, you're good on TikTok.
Thanks.
Mala is good on TikTok. Right? Yeah. She like
We're
resists
trying.
It, but she does it a lot more than any of us.
We're trying, dude. They're on there.
All right, Locamores. Well, thank you for tuning in to another capítulo of Locatora Radio. Then thank you, Jade. We will catch you next time.
Besitos.
Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Munoz, and Diosa Femme.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our Locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos! Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.